Trey Fitzgerald, of course, RSL Vice President Broadcasting and Communications, is on our Iron Flash hotline. Trey, how do you pronounce Albert Watt?
The proper Slovakian pronunciation is Rusnak. Knock at the door. Knock on the door.
Okay.
Or knocking in goals, as the case may be for Albert.
That was a legitimately great goal. I for him to receive that ball, take one touch, and hit it with his left foot across his body like that. That's one of the best goals we've seen in an RSL game for maybe the season.
It's up there. I mean, it's very similar to the goal he had against Atlanta, which was the previous goal RSL had in the 329 minutes his two goals bracketed. Great ball from Savarino, the new kid, to set up Albert, and I think RSL fans should be pretty excited about what the Venezuelan forward, now 20 years old, Albert's 22, obviously you got Brooks Lennon, Bofo Saucedo, Joao Plata is still only 25, that young attacking core, and Mike Pecky asked Albert to be a little more assertive, a little more aggressive, and even a little more selfish at times, and I think we saw that as the attacking waves seemed to kind of come together against New York City FC, and again, everything being dictated by Rusnak.
Yeah, I thought the high pressure in that game that RSL played with was, allowed them to get the ball in good spots, and then Rusnak and Savarino did a good job of kind of using that space and getting some good opportunities for RSL. I wanted to ask you about the injury report for this game against Seattle, especially backline and of course Jordan Allen. What's their availability looking like?
Nobody new is becoming available Saturday from Wednesday, but obviously Tony Beltran is going to play for the Monarchs tomorrow night, and that's been the case with Mike Pecky, where he's had Aaron Mond, Sonny, now Beltran, a couple other guys get time with the Monarchs before they go back to kind of the MLS level. So Beltran, David Horse is probably a week away. Jordan Allen might be a couple weeks away. I would expect to see those guys as well play with the Monarchs before they get back to MLS. Mike did not do that with Kyle Beckerman and Nick Raimondo for obvious reasons, and those guys were able to jump right back in and on Wednesday night, and I think provide a little bit of a steadying hand. So we're grateful that the injury report is back into single digits after being, 11 players deep for much of April. So it's coming back together, and, there's some great quotes from Craig Weibel in a Salt Lake Tribune story that just went up a couple hours ago from Chris Camerani, where he said they're examining everything. Some guys didn't do the off-season workout program. Some guys might have been overworked in preseason. Other guys might have been underworked in preseason, and that's why we're seeing so many muscle injuries the first couple months. Fortunately, I think for RSL fans, as LA and Seattle prove often, what happens in April and May doesn't really seem to dictate the final outcome of really what's an interminable MLS season. So RSL now 3 wins, 4 losses in the Mike Pecky era. As guys get back and start instituting his directives, hopefully we can get on the up and up and start moving up those Western Conference standings.
Trey, Mike Pecky in the post-game presser made mention that the reason Yura Movsisian was, of course, taken out at the halftime break was because of a potential concussion. So to say, of course, the diagnosis was not had not come through yet. Any update on Yura, whether or not he's available for tomorrow or not?
Yura is available. He came through on Thursday morning. Doctors looked at him again. He was cleared. He trained in the regeneration session yesterday. He trained today. He's on a plane to Seattle right now. So that's good news for RSL fans. And, Yuri's got, I believe, 13 goals in the last probably 37, 38 games played over the last 2 years. So RSL is going to need him. And, he spent much of this year as that target forward, occupying both opposing center backs and really been a little bit on an island. So hopefully now with Savarino, Plata, and the thing I enjoyed most on Wednesday night is every time those guys got down the wings, there were six, seven, even eight guys in the box at times, which is something we didn't really see a lot of, I think, earlier in the year. So if you give dynamic attacking players options like that, hopefully the goals will come.
Really quickly, Trey, just one more loose thread. DeMar Phillips, did you say anything about his status?
DeMar is out. He did his hamstring in the first half of the New England game. He had a PRP, which is the platelet-rich plasma therapy, and he's probably out a couple more weeks as well.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about the formation for RSL. You know, we've seen kind of the, I don't know if alternation is a fair word, but we've seen a look at both kind of the diamond and the 4-3-3 over the last few weeks. You know, what's Petke's approach to how RSL is playing on the field? And, you know, does he want to stick to one formation moving forward, or does he kind of want to adapt it depending on the opponent?
Yeah, this has been Mike's sixth week, and I think he doesn't really probably know exactly what the formation is. He's not a big formation guy. If you've listened to some of his interviews throughout his weeks, he kind of thinks of things as starting points, and he likes to talk more about philosophies like the high pressure you mentioned earlier. And he really wants guys kind of hunting in packs, defending in numbers, getting the ball back if the ball is turned over, and then that way you're able to attack kind of in groups. And anybody that's been able to watch the Real Monarchs so far this year, 7-1, Mike had about 6 weeks of preseason with those guys. Mark Briggs, now the head coach of the Monarchs, working closely with Mike. And I think that is hopefully a sign of things to come of how guys will play. So whether it's a 4-2-3-1, a 4-5-1, a 4-3-3, a diamond midfield, you know, he calls that, and Craig Weibel kind of termed this tactical semantics. So what they want are high starting points, high pressure points, and really, especially at home, to be able to take advantage of the altitude against visiting teams. I don't know what we'll see tomorrow. I think that diamond we saw against New England might be a little bit of an aberration, but it'll be something interesting to keep an eye on as the season goes on. And certainly Mike is still evaluating what he has, and his guys come off the injury list, and he could take a look at some of these combinations between veterans and young guys for the first time. I think that'll dictate those starting points that everybody loves to obsess over.
Trey, before we let you go, it's worth noting, unfortunately, Real Salt Lake have not had much luck on artificial surface. You, of course, are going up to Seattle, the reigning champions. They play on artificial turf. So best of luck. I think you guys are going to come away with a result and 3 points in particular.
3 points, wow.
But here's a quick side note. Trey, you texted this to me the other week, but Real Salt Lake have not won on turf since November of 2013, right?
That is correct. It's been a span of 18 games since this team was able to capture the full three on a turf field. But the good thing about CenturyLink Field in Seattle is that is the site of the club's greatest glory, MLS Cup 2009. So even though tomorrow's game will likely resemble marbles in a bathtub, because that's how awful that cement-like turf surface is, I believe there was just maybe a U2 concert or something up there in the last few days. I don't expect it to resemble soccer. I never do up there, or Vancouver, or New England for that matter, because it's been such a horrid turf surface that those teams have had. But fingers crossed we get the 3 points that you just predicted.
Trey, we'll let you go. Travel safe, my friend. We'll see you when you return back in Salt Lake City. Go Real Salt Lake.
Thanks, guys.